Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update from One Bill Drive, where the Bills practice today, back outdoors today, getting set for their Sunday game against the Giants. They got a couple of players back at practice, including cornerback Levi Wallace, who left yesterday with an ankle injury. He is not on the injury list, is any question at all for Sunday's game. Out of the game, ruled out of the game by the Bills, cornerback Taron Johnson with his hamstring pull suffered last week. He has not practiced all week. Wide receiver Andre Roberts is ruled out of the game with his quad muscle injury. Tight end Tyler Croft, questionable with his foot. Giants has significant injuries. Wide receiver Sterling Shepard, who's been in concussion protocol all week, he has been ruled out. Wide receiver Darius Slayton with a hamstring, he has been ruled out. Tight end Garrett Dickerson with his quad, he is officially out. Wide receiver Cody Latimer with a calf muscle injury, he is questionable. Bills, Giants, 1 o'clock Sunday. You can hear the game right here on their flagship radio station, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll have the call of the game with Eric Wood next to me and Sal Capaccio down on the sidelines. Antonio Brown is not going to, it looks like he will play against the Dolphins for the Patriots on Sunday. NFL Network says the league is not planning on placing Brown in the commissioner's exempt list ahead of this Week 2 game against the Dolphins. He'd been accused of rape by a former trainer. Meantime, former Dolphins first-round draft pick Minka Fitzpatrick has received permission from that team to seek a trade. His agent says he's been in contact with a number of teams. Fitzpatrick was the 11th overall pick in 2018, unhappy with being asked to play multiple positions in Miami. Cam Newton, Carolina Panthers quarterback, took the blame for his team's 20-14 loss to Tampa Bay last night. He says all the fingers are pointing back to me, but he says his surgically repaired shoulder and recently injured foot were not to blame. Two-time Super Bowl champion wide receiver Torrey Smith is retiring after 8 seasons, former second-round pick of the Baltimore Ravens. UB football on the road in Lynchburg, Virginia tomorrow, 6 p.m. to play Liberty, and the Sabres on the ice today for their first practices of training camp. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio. Coming up in a minute, we're going to be talking with John Jalapio, offensive lineman center for the New York Giants. Started last week, started a little bit last year, came up with a season-ending injury. We'll talk with him about all of that when he joins us. And the lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander coming up this hour as well. Did not get a chance to talk with you, Steve, much about the Miami Dolphins, who continue to make news. Minka Fitzpatrick, a premium draft pick, 11th overall just a year ago, had a good, solid rookie year for the Dolphins, and he's been given permission by the Dolphins to seek a trade. What the heck is going on? I know what's going on down there, but come on, really? How much do you got to dismantle that team?
Yeah, here's the sad part about it. For if you're a player in that locker room, certainly Minka Fitzpatrick is a guy who's a hybrid defensive back. He's a safety, cornerback kind of guy, and they're asking him to play different positions, slot corner, outside corner, safety, those kind of things. He doesn't like bouncing around like that, but it's disconcerting, I think, for the guys in the locker room to have a guy who doesn't want to be there. He wants to play someplace where he can do it. And some of it may have to do with the fact that the team is not in a position to get to the playoffs this year. They don't have expectations to do that. They've lost. And think about Minka Fitzpatrick coming into his second year. He's got to look around and think, we're not better than we were last year. The Tannehill's gone. All these we're different. And the guys that I thought were really good players, they've let release. They didn't come back. We lost them. I think that's a big problem for a young player to go in there and think, you know what? It's hard enough to play this game when you've got guys you really like and really think they can play. When you gut the team and none of those guys are here anymore, and I got these new guys, I like them well enough, but they can't play. Or we're not better this year. That's hard to bounce back and give the physical effort that football demands.
I get what you're saying about if he doesn't want to be there, they don't want him poisoning the atmosphere. But the fact that he doesn't want to be there says something about the atmosphere that's been created by the Dolphins, by right up to ownership and the general manager and the coach.
Absolutely.
You can't have that atmosphere and expect guys to want to stick around and stay.
Absolutely. And, the word tank is thrown around all the time in pro sports these days. Everybody uses it. And here's the thing. It may work other places in some other sport. I don't know. But here's the thing. It's not ever going to work in this sport because this sport commands emotional content and physical sacrifice. And if you get an inkling, I mean an inkling, that the organization is not in it 100% to win, you will not give the effort and sacrifice that it takes to win consistently at this league. You may get lucky and win a couple of games. You may be competitive, but you will never, never accomplish all the goals that their franchise should have for its fan base. You will never do it. You have got to be all in to win, to get your players to play their best. That's why it's such a big issue with the word culture is tossed around a lot, because it's a big issue in locker rooms. The game demands too much from its players, physically, emotionally, and pain tolerance wise.
Yeah,
you know, you got to be willing to suffer for the guys in and around that locker room, and for the organization itself, for the greater good of all, you know, all those guys in the locker room to win. And if you're not, if you got a bunch of guys that aren't willing to do that, think about what that means. Think about how that plays itself out on the field. And then you get, you know, it's very easy to see why guys, you know what, I'm a second-year player. I'm pulling the ripcord.
Yeah.
I got a long way to play here. I know I can play. I want to play on somebody that actually wants, is on board. And I've heard that from coaches on staffs around the National Football League, that the ownership is not like that. So I feel for Minkah Fitzpatrick in this situation. And the Dolphins have no one to blame but themselves.
The Dolphins got smoked, right, by Baltimore last week. What was it, 59-10? I'm looking it up, 59-20? 59-10. But here's the thing, and it's a weird stat. You know the Dolphins have won 5 of the last 6 times they played the Patriots in Miami? That's crazy. Yeah. I don't know how to explain that.
I can't.
Can't figure that out. Bills got a game at the Meadowlands in New Jersey on Sunday, 1 o'clock, while the Dolphins are playing the Giants. And on the line with us right now, the man who will be manning the center spot for the New York Giants in his second year as their starting center. We are very happy to have John Jalapeno. Jalapeno. Somebody said Jalapeno.
Nope. Yeah.
John Jalapeno is on the line with us from East Rutherford, New Jersey. Hi, John. Thanks. Sorry to butcher your name. Thanks for joining us after practice today.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me. No worries. A lot of people mispronounce my name.
Yeah, but
I don't even know how to say it correct anymore.
Thanks, John. Hey, I got to ask you, it was an emotional return to Dallas for you last year. You had finally, after bouncing around practice squads, after being in and out of the league, getting a chance to start for the New York Giants. Early in the season last year, you lost your season to an injury. And for a guy who had to go through as much as you did personally to get on the field in the NFL, it was a crushing injury, and yet here you are. You did it. You're back, and you're starting for the Giants. Yep. What's that mean to you?
It means a lot. It means a lot that that the Giants had a lot of confidence in bringing me back and throwing me back into the first team lineup. It means a lot that my hard work is not going unnoticed. So I'm just excited to be a part of this group and a part of this offense.
Was it emotional for you on the field at Dallas last week where you were carted off last year in week 2? Was that emotional for you last week to come back there?
No, not really. Not really. I was more excited than anything. You know, when the schedule first came out, it was a little emotional just, you know, thinking about going back to Dallas. But when I got there, I was more excited than anything. That was the only emotion I really had.
On the line with John Jalapeno, he is the New York Giants starting center, getting set to go up against the Bills this week. Overall, offensively, I know the outcome was poor for the Giants this week, but as an offensive unit, you guys had to be fairly happy with what went down last week, how you moved the ball against the Cowboys defense, I would think, huh?
Yeah, we did pretty. I mean, we did some good things, and we made some mistakes. You know, we just got to finish those drives with points. You know. Play a game where the team that scores the most points wins the game. So that's something that we look forward to trying to do against the Bills defense. And we have a good challenge ahead of us. The Bills defense is really good, really sound. They can get after the quarterback. So we have a challenge ahead for the offensive line.
Well, when you're in the game snapping to Eli Manning, you've got a guy behind you that has, you know, won 2 Super Bowls. He's an entrenched. Mm-hmm. Solid leader in charge of that offense. What's his demeanor? What does he bring to the table this year at this stage of his career that gives you guys, always gives you a chance to win?
Oh, I think it's just his knowledge of the game, the knowledge that he has, to see the defense through his eyes. you know, the way he checks different protections into the blitzes, things like that, you know, really helps us up front, you know, to ultimately protect him. And you know, it's been fun so far, and we just got to keep doing it.
John, what's it like to block for Saquon Barkley? How does that feel, knowing that you got basically a guy who can hit a home run every time, right? Every time he touches the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a dynamic player, you know, obviously very athletic. You know, he's a dynamic player. You just never know where he's going to be. And, you know, something in our room that we always emphasize is stay on your blocks, because you never know when your block is going to be that touchdown block for Saquon. So it's very exciting to, you know, have an opportunity to block for him.
People here in Western New York who cheer for the Bills are wondering, you know, how do you stop a guy like Saquon Barkley, who seems like he's the ultimate weapon? He can get his hands on the ball whenever you guys decide to hand it to him. What do teams do most of the time that you watch on film? How do teams really – what's the philosophy? They just put 8, 9 guys in the box and just kind of wait for you to give it to him?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, we're seeing more loaded up boxes. You know, he's definitely a threat. So, you know, we do see a lot more loaded boxes, more so than other teams. And rightfully so. You know, we have a special player back there in the running back.
John Jalapio, our guest, Giants starting center. I want to talk just for a minute or two, John, about your path to the New York Giants, your path to the NFL. You were a 6th-round pick of the Patriots, right, in 2014, and then had to make your way around a couple of practice squads for a while, huh?
Correct, yep. I was drafted to the New England Patriots. I was just there till the last cuts for 2014. And then later on in the season, I got picked up by Denver for practice squad. 2015... I was released from Denver, and then in 2015 I was with Arizona Cardinals training camp. I was just a training camp body there, and then when I got released there, that whole entire year of 2015 I wasn't on a team, just working down in St. Pete, Florida. And then 2016 I got another opportunity to go back to New England for training camp as a training camp body. And actually played my best preseason game against the Giants. So when I got released from New England, the Giants called me to be a part of their practice squad.
And there was a stint in the FXFL. What was that? What? I don't even remember that league, John.
Yeah, it was just trying to be a developmental league for players to continue to perfect their craft in football, and didn't last very long. The competition was okay. It was just something that I was trying to do to stay in football shape, to hone in on my craft, versus trying to go to arena where it's not, you know, very similar to football with the football rules, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
right.
I was just trying to get some more film out there, trying to send it out to teams to show them that I'm still active and I'm still playing football.
You must be proud of that path and how hard you've had to work to make yourself and work your way into a starting center spot in the NFL.
Absolutely. You know, it was a long road. I didn't anticipate this road to being here, to lead up to this. I didn't anticipate it being like this in college. So, you know, I'm here now, and I'm just grateful that I'm here for a great organization.
Well, if John Jalapio saw himself 5 years earlier, what's the biggest difference in your game now than it was back in 2014 or 15? What's the biggest difference now that you're a starter in the NFL? What's different about you?
I think it's just, you know, my understanding of the game, understanding how to be a professional in the NFL. I think that was the hardest thing for me, was to grasp on how to be a pro. You know, I thought I could just there was little parts of me that I thought I could just come in and, you know, ease into, you know, that I'll get it right. And, you know, I learned that very quickly, that, you know, if you don't get it right, you know, the first, second, third time, you know, you're out of there. So it's a cutthroat business, and it's very competitive, and, you know, it's the best league in the world.
John, your head coach, Pat Shurmur, played center in college at Michigan State. Does he watch you closer than anybody else on the team, I wonder?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's times where he's coaching me up, giving me pointers, and he still does it to this day. So it's cool that I could say that my head coach was a former center and former offensive lineman.
There you go. Thanks, John.
Thanks for being with us. Good luck to you. We appreciate your time today. Thanks.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
John Jalapio is the Giants starting center. It's a great story I mean, to bounce around practice squads, what did they say, sixth round pick of the Patriots, although they've had some success with sixth round picks, but a sixth round pick of the Patriots in 2014 who bounced around practice squads, played in that developmental
league. I hope John plays outstanding in a losing effort.
Seems like a good guy.
He's a good guy to cheer for,
yeah,
right?
They got new bodies up front on the right side. They added Kevin Zeitler in free agency, the right guard who came over from the Cincinnati Bengals, Mike Remmers, who's been around the league a little bit, brand new starting right tackle, and they have Nate Solder, the former Patriot at left tackle.
Right.
Don't overlook these Giants, Steve. I'm telling you again.
That's what you came in Monday saying. Yeah, I've been saying it all week. You got to play well to beat these guys in their home opener. They're not happy with the way they looked, particularly defensively, and they're going to fix some things, and you got to contend with them.
We got the lowdown coming up with Lorenzo Alexander. Come on back and join us. Steve and I here until 3 o'clock today. It is One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studios at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander. We do this every Friday. The Lowdown presented by Hutch's. Welcome, Lorenzo Alexander. Thanks for waiting a couple minutes to come on with us today. We appreciate it.
are you trying to set me up for Jay right there with that one?
How he bumped me.
We had a
guy from the Giants. I mean, he's a good guy.
I get it. Yeah, I'll see him a lot. I just don't like. At least you could have told me who I was getting bumped for. But I think he was trying to save himself. And once y'all tweeted it out, I said, "Man, you bumped me for the offensive line of the Giants, really?" You couldn't put him later in the day, but it is what it is.
Thanks for being patient. We appreciate it. Welcome to the show. Congratulations on the win over the Jets. I know it was 5 days ago, but everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was huge for us to be able to go out there and win your first game. It's always important to really set that tone and just start putting games in the bank. It's definitely important to win early, and so when you start getting late in the year, you can find yourself in a good position. And so that was one we needed, especially the way we won that game, ugly.
That's what I was going to ask. Certainly, didn't go well offensively, but now that it's over,
right?
That does tell you a little something about, hey, if it is go bad, we still got a chance to pull this out. We got guys that are resilient. They're going to bounce back. They're going to get it together sooner or later.
Well, it definitely showed a lot of growth, from last year to this year. I mean, last year was in a similar game, and we got blown out and turning the ball over, and our defense wasn't able to get them off the field or create turnovers. And, this time around, we were able to stop them when they did get the turnovers. They didn't get into the end zone. I think they only scored 8 points against us. And a lot of that came in the second half. And so we were very fortunate, obviously playing good defense, and we kept ourselves close enough so when our offense came alive, we still had an opportunity to put points on the board and win the game.
Right. People see everything that Josh Allen does and look at it and inspect it and look at it with a microscope. And network TV caught him kind of going up to the defense and getting guys going. What does that mean to you? Did you notice that Sunday? Was that unusual? And what does that mean when the quarterback is concerned with – let's get down here and talk to the defense.
Yeah, no, it's not unusual for him to do that at all. I mean, he's always constantly pumping everybody up. I mean, that's why one of the reasons why he's a captain. I think he transcends very well with this team, whether it's an offense or defense or young or old on this team. And he has great relationships. And so he has the ability to go and speak life into people, especially once, we kick a field goal, we're right there in range, and he's like, hey, man, let's get this thing back so we can win this game. And everybody can feel that energy and obviously responds to his voice and his leadership.
There were some dark times, though, in that first half of that game when the offense had two successive plays where they end up turning it over. One was a sack strip fumble after they've been driving the ball, moving it, and then they come back, get the ball the next time after you force a punt, and they tipped interception pick six.
Right.
That's a dark time in the game. I mean, it doesn't get worse than that.
Yeah, very easy. I mean, and a lot of times you can easily start pointing the finger, like we're doing our job. What's going on with you guys? But at the end of the day, I think the Jets have a very good defense, a lot of playmakers, and they made some plays on some balls. Obviously, you know, when you have a tip drop, and, you know, C.J. Mosley just has that it factor where he always seems to be right in the right place, caught it and made a play. And but I think we always felt we were moving the ball, and it was some self-inflicting wounds where we didn't execute with good ball security or catching the rock. And so we felt like it was more us than them. Sure. And, you know, just by the defense staying resilient, keeping them off the board for the most part, allowed the offense to kind of bounce back. And then, you know, when CJ went out, the run game really started going off. You know, Devin Singletary really opened up some runs, and I think that opened up the play action game and then put guys on the outside like John Brown and gave him an opportunity to make a play late in the game to go ahead.
We noticed it, and a lot of people said, it was a coincidence. It ain't no coincidence that they started handing the ball off after C.J. Mosley left the game.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, he's one of the premier linebackers in this league. You know, when he was in Baltimore, ball hawk, always around it, you know, always having over 100 tackles. And when a guy of that magnitude goes out of the game, it's a big shift, and it actually played out well for us and really was able to get our run game started.
With Lorenzo Alexander, Bills linebacker, talking about last week's game. Let me ask you about this week of practice. And people got pretty excited about that victory, both in and outside of this building.
But yeah.
How was the practice week? And what was said about calm down, it's week right. one, we got more work to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. I mean, that's our mindset each and every week. And, you know, we have, I guess, a fairly young team, but we have some good leadership in there as well, that just making sure that guys don't get too high and really too low if we have lost that game. Because it is only week one. This is a long season. It was great that we were able to overcome a lot of adversity and win that. But the way we won is not who we want to be the entire year, because we will lose a lot more games than we will win if we continue to play like that. So just getting back to the basics. Obviously, as a defense, we want to continue to rise up, try to figure out a way to get some turnovers. We had that one late, but we don't really even count that one with Trent Murphy. And then obviously offensively, ball security, be able to finish off drives, protect the rock, and put us in advantageous spots when we talk about field position that's going to lead to wins.
So you're looking at the New York Giants now, and you watch them, you watch their tape.
Yeah.
Now they move the ball a ton.
Yeah, they're really good.
But they got embarrassed on the road this last week. I mean, their defense really looked, it was kind of the opposite story from the Bills. The offense actually moved the ball, couldn't overcome the fact their defense was giving up all those guys getting over the top.
Right.
Don't you expect the Giants come in there just, fixed up?
I mean, obviously, it's a home opener for them.
Right.
They obviously want to bounce back. They have a salty taste in their mouth, you know, in the media, especially I think because the way they lost and they started getting down. Saquon wasn't able to be featured as much as they probably wanted to keep him in the game, because I want to say the first three or four plays in that first 15, he was getting the rock, and then obviously he kind of faded later in the game. And so we're expecting to get, you know, Saquon in the beginning, early, and late in the game. Yeah. And so we're going to have our hands full. I mean, second play of the game versus Dallas, somebody jumps out their gap and he goes for 60. And mm-hmm. so he has the ability to pretty much very similar to Le'Veon. I think he just has a little bit more juice than Le'Veon once he gets out in the open. And mm-hmm. obviously he's still prime because he didn't have a whole year of football off. But he is a monster, and so we have that same mentality this week, as far as being disciplined in our gaps, getting off blocks, and have to gang tackle him, because obviously they call him Saquad Barkley. Guys bounce off him when they tackle sure. him, and so you got to have a multitude of guys getting to him. They want our DBs to tackle him as well, to do a lot of crack blocking our safeties and putting them on corners. And so corners have to wrap up, but the guys that are, you know, in the core, D-linemen, linebackers, have to rally to the ball and help them get them down.
I can't get enough of that second play from scrimmage. An amazing play, not just by Saquon, but the corner, the Cowboys corner on the other side of Woozy.
Yeah.
He chased him down. I read there were some next-gen stats. Steve is sick of hearing me say this. Saquon was running 21-point-something miles an hour, yeah. which is great. The corner ran 22 points, almost 23 miles an hour to chase him down. An amazing play by him.
Yeah, you know, he had a great angle running. Yeah, and it's about effort. I mean, he was fresh still, too. It was the second play of the game. So, I mean,
that's
he hadn't
good play, point.
He hadn't played too
they're
much both defense
fresh.
Quite yet, you
yeah,
know?
Both fresh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just a great play. But, again, you know, only reason why that play got out is because one of the safeties jumps outside of his block. You have two guys in the same gap. And that ball, I mean, in most cases, he's hitting his head on the goalpost. But obviously, they had a guy that could run on the other side who was able to cut him off.
With Lorenzo Alexander, the lowdown. Lorenzo's going to give us a lowdown in a moment. If you have comments or questions, he can take your calls on the air, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550.
One of the things I want to get back to the Jet game, if you look back at it, it looked like a great performance by the defense. And it was. 8 points given up, mm-hmm. and you held them under, you know, 223 yards is all they got all day. If you were talking about what you were going to clean up, what were you guys not happy with?
I would think probably third down. I think we gave up one too many there, or maybe a couple. I think they were 7 for 17, which is like 41%. We want to be down in the low 30 range. I think there was a couple of plays. Just having some a little bit more of awareness of threats by formation, which would have helped us out. And some of the calls weren't indicative as well. So, I mean, just as players evolve, coaches want to evolve too to make some more adjustments to maybe within the game, maybe fix some of those little things up. And then turnovers, figuring out ways to get the ball out and eventually scoring on defense. And so those are the things that we have to be able to do.
How big an issue was it? We've kind of gotten away from talking about it, but it was week one, new defensive coordinator, new players on their team, new offensive play caller mm-hmm. for the Jets. You didn't know anything about what they were going to look like. I mean, you could say it was like right. the Dolphins last year, but it's a completely different team.
Yeah, yeah, and it's always hard. So, you know, and I even got confused a little bit. I'm like, who are we playing this week? Because you watch Miami, watching yeah, yeah. Jets going back and forth. I'm like, no, it's the Jets. It's the Jets, you know. So they did have a lot of those concepts because obviously Gase coming, being the head coach, being the offensive coordinator coming from Miami, a lot of those same concepts. But you have different guys running them. And so everybody has their own flavor, and then, you know, Gase is a smart coach, and so he's going to maybe tweak some things that fit his personnel. And so for the most part, it was all the same, but they did make some good adjustments to what we were doing, and that's why they were able to convert on some of those third down plays.
Lorenzo Alexander, our guest, it's the lowdown where we go through his ideas on what has to be done to produce a victory, and we'll start with the lowdown here and start with who we were just talking about a minute ago, Saquon Barkley. It says here, stop Saquon Barkley. Can you stop him or do you?
Yeah, you can stop him.
Okay,
it's a mindset for all four quarters. And it's really for, you know, it's everybody. You know, most of the time we say stop the run, you think about the D-line and linebackers. But the way they run their game, their scheme is that they're trying to get Saquon on a corner. And if you're at home watching this play, you just saw this play. That's the play I was talking about where the receiver came down to crack the safety. He jumps outside. Now you have the safety and corner out in the same gap. He finds that crease. So guys have to stay in their gap. Corners have to wrap up, tackle him high. You really can't tackle this guy anywhere but high for the most part because of how big and quick he is. So you jump at his feet, he jumping over you. You hit his quads, you're bouncing off. And we have to populate the ball. And it has to be for all four quarters. And if we have our offense scoring points, well, that's why it's a complimentary game. Similar to what Dallas did, try to phase him out of the run game because we're scoring points and they're not able to score on us.
You must have played against Adrian Peterson in your career.
Yes, I've played against Adrian.
Does this guy remind you of him, maybe a little bigger or no?
Similar but different.
Yeah. I don't know who this guy compare him to.
Yeah, I think he's more of a Le'Veon Bell type. He can
really?
Cut it back.
Right. Okay.
His edge, I mean, I think he's more of that style of back. AP is more downhill, but they're all special. They just run a little bit different.
Right.
I would say he's just a little bit more patient than AP is.
Right.
All right, the lowdown continues, number two, and we've talked about this too. Hard to win a game when the offense turns it over four times.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen often. I mean, I'm pretty sure if you look at the next-gen stats as far as when you turn the ball over four times.
I don't look at those all the time, by the way, once in a while.
We probably had, like, a 95% chance of winning that game.
Losing that game.
Of losing, I mean.
When
of losing, yeah, of losing four. That game yeah. With
Actually,
four turnovers.
Actually, 97%.
Exactly. Then you throw in the
Mr. Next
yeah,
Gen.
Then you throw in the safety,
yeah, like a 2% chance.
Which I don't know if it counts as a turnover or not, but that's a turnover to me with points. And you're just not going to win a lot of games. And so we were 2%ers last week.
2%.
We don't want to live in that world for 17
games.
Right. We don't want to live in that world all week or all year. So I know Josh and the offense is really going to play close attention as far as taking good care of the ball, especially when you're moving it well and you're competing to shoot yourself in the foot. It's even more frustrating because you're like, man, we got these guys off balance. And so when you have a drive, especially sustaining it, you want to be able to finish them off. And then even if you don't, you have confidence in your defense. Let's punt it. play the field position game, and then we'll have expected points on that ensuing drive.
Here's I'm going to ask Steve to tell the story he told early this week, Monday, it might have been even then, about your conversation with Peyton Manning about interceptions, turnovers.
Yeah.
That's great.
When I was covering with the league.
Yeah, early.
Early in Peyton's career, actually it was about 4 or 5 years in, we have a production meeting with him the day before the game, and mm-hmm. we're asking about last week's game. He threw a pick and stuff.
Right.
And I was asking him about it. He goes, listen, every interception has a story.
Yep.
Nobody wants to hear it.
Right.
It's true. It's a little fluky last week, but in the end, you're like,
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear it, man. You gotta live with it. I had one thing I was gonna ask you about. What was the last lowdown? Oh, it's about what did
protect
you ask
the football?
Protect? No.
Oh, the third one.
The third one, Eli.
Yeah.
Eli is always comes across. Now we've got a ton of calls like this. We asked everybody else out there, our listeners, to give us their three keys. So now you're giving us your three, and yours is the same as a lot of theirs. You got to make Eli uncomfortable. He never looks uncomfortable to me, but you watch him on film. He shows some different things when he starts getting pressured.
Yeah, I mean, he's like with any quarterback. I think his quarterback rating without pressure, and I'm not saying blitzing or anything like that. Without pressure in his face, he's like 100. You put pressure, whether it's a D lineman beating a guy. You make him uncomfortable. He has to move his feet a little bit. It drops down to 57. And so that's what our mind is. Whether we're blitzing or we're just rushing with four, making him get off his spot. And obviously, he's not a mobile quarterback. He's not going to run all over the place. So getting him off the spot could just be moving him 3 to 5 feet to his right or his left, where he's taking his eyes from downfield and just falling to the ground because he's trying to protect himself. Because if you don't do that, and I've been trying to make sure young guys do this, because I fell in this when I was in that division for 7 years playing against him. Mm-hmm. When you look at him and the way he carries himself, you're like, I'm not quite sure if he's that guy. I'm like, no, this dude got 2 Super Bowls now,
right. And
it's legit. And he's been in this league a long time, has a ton of reps, and so he knows how to manipulate defenses. He knows how to put his offense in the most advantageous spot. And so we have to have a mindset, because he is a Hall of Famer waiting in the wings, like you should be. And so we have to have that mindset of getting him off the spot, getting to him, making him feel us, making him uncomfortable, making him feel like he can't go down the field, and throwing that check down all game and tackling that. And that really is the way you have to stop him.
Yeah, Eli's waiting in the wings to be a Hall of Famer. I'm in the back alley.
Every time I have a chance, I'm going to talk about
it. The thing about Eli is he's got that personality that he never looks flustered.
Right.
Never looks – you can't tell it's the big moment. And I think his team kind of feeds off that. I mean, they take a little – he's a calming influence.
Yeah, calm breeds
moments.
Calm. You know, that's one of our principles that we have here because, obviously a football game is hectic, but if you're a leadership, the guy you're looking to is calm, then you naturally breathe that same calmness.
Last question before we go to – we got some sound. Have you had mac and cheese lately?
Yeah, I've had a little bit of mac and cheese. My kids did it all the time. After Deion said what he had to say, I had to go stir me some up too, nice and slow. Takes a while a little bit, stir that thing up.
Craft mac and cheese stock went up this week. Deion, you want to play that sound?
Yeah,
let's
hear the sound. This is great.
If you think about it, it's like a train. You got to oil that train up. You got to start that engine. If it's a diesel truck, you got to start off slow, and then that thing opens up, and you're gone. And that's exactly what happened. You start off, just keep turning. If you're making a mac and cheese, stir that mac and cheese up, and eventually the mac and cheese is going to be nice, wet, juicy. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't know that was what you're going
for. It's funny, man.
How excited he was stoked after that.
Yeah,
game.
And then it was post game, so he was hungry too. That's why he went to the mac and cheese. He had to eat something. That's the first. Oh, I'm hungry, man. I want some mac and cheese.
He went from brains to mac and cheese.
So and last thing for me, going back to the MetLife Stadium, same hotel, same pregame, same that, that,
good routine.
It's going to feel really familiar.
Right, and that's what I like about it. It's a quick trip, so it's not just elongated trip. 45 minutes there, back probably in your same room, same routine. Eat your breakfast, feel the same way. Obviously, we want a different outcome once we get on the field as far as how we played initially. But want that same outcome and result in the W.
I'm hoping for the same room. I left some stuff in there.
Charger
in there?
Would have been nice.
I left everything in there. Lorenzo, thank you. Great to have you here with us. We
anytime.
Good luck.
Good luck. Stay in one piece,
you guys. Yep.
Lorenzo Alexander with a lowdown. It comes to us every Friday during the regular season. The lowdown presented by Hutch's, redefining city dining. Steve and I coming back with more. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. So what do we learn from today's show? It's always a good question. We had a good show today. Carl Banks joined us briefly earlier today, the color analyst on the Giants Radio Network, former Giants linebacker. Carl Banks talked about how the Giants are looking at the Bills this week.
They can't stop talking enough about, you know, the physicality of the defense, the different looks that they get. And then having Nate Solder on the team, he has, spoken glowingly and with high regard for the Bills defense because he's played it when he was in New England. So I don't think there's any element of them not taking the Bills as good as a good defense. So offensively, you look at the quarterback and he does a lot of good things. I mean, he's a threat with his legs. He's got one of the biggest arms in the league. So and then he's got two really good running backs and a good offensive scheme.
Carl Banks and the Giants look at the Buffalo Bills, their opponents this week. We had Greg Cosell on with us at 1 o'clock today. Greg Cosell came away from the Bills-Jets game with a very positive impression of quarterback Josh Allen. Here's what he said.
Very impressed. And you know what I found very fascinating was their first 18 plays through their first three possessions, guys, were called passes. Very interesting game plan. And I thought Josh was poised, composed. The game was not too fast for him mentally. I like the kinds of throws they asked him to make. They were short throws. They were timing throws. The kinds of throws that we always talked about that he had to do better in order to become a consistent quarterback. I thought for the most part he was pretty accurate, good ball placement. These were throws that demanded pace and touch, and he made these kinds of throws. It was kind of interesting and fun to watch.
Was fun, and maybe it'll be fun this week, too. The Bills and the Giants, 1 o'clock kickoff at the same place, MetLife Stadium. Lorenzo made a good point, Steve. We got a minute or two left here. And I was thinking about this today, this morning. It's two straight road games to start the year. Normally, you'd be like, oh, man, we got to start with two straight on the road. These really could not be a better setup. If you got only two in a row on the road, you're going to the same place. It's a 45-50-minute flight. You're checking into the same hotel. The bus times are the exact same times they were a week ago. If you got to play two in a row on the road, this could not be any easier, more manageable.
The only way it could be better is if they flip-flopped the games and had the one that was out of conference, out of division first, because it was, you know, it's a less meaningful game, and then played the Jets. And it would have worked out better, too, because the Giants played horribly on week one, and then this week two, Darnold's out of the lineup. You got all these guys hurt for the Jets.
It turned out all right.
Yeah, the Giants are going to be a better team, I think, this weekend than they were last weekend, though.
The injury reports are out for each team. Taron Johnson will not play for the Bills. Injured his hamstring last week. The Bills' nickel corner. I would look for Saran Neal to fill in there at the cornerback spot. That's just my guess. Also out of the game is wide receiver Andre Roberts with his quad muscle. It'll be his second consecutive missed game. The Bills' primary return specialist, not expected. Well, he won't play. He is listed as out. Tyler Kroft, tight end, is questionable for the game. Limited practice all week long. The broken foot suffered way back in the spring coming along. Don't know if he'll play. Again, he is questionable. 50-50. We'll see. I'd be surprised if he played. Levi Wallace, who left practice early yesterday with an ankle injury, limited in practice yesterday. With the ankle injury yesterday, full today. He's not even on the injury list, so that's a good sign.
There you go. And walked it off.
Giants game statuses for Sunday. Wide receiver Sterling Shepard is out with a concussion. Wide receiver Darius Slayton is out with a hamstring. He's a rookie. Wide receiver Cody Latimer is questionable with a calf muscle. Tight end Garrett Dickerson is out with a quad muscle. So Latimer questionable. Shepard is out, Darius Slayton is out, leaving the Giants with these receivers: Benny Fowler, Russell Shepard, Cody Kaur, and TJ Jones just re-signed to the roster on Wednesday. Four receivers healthy for the Giants. One of them just added to the roster Wednesday after having a good training camp with them, cut on the final cutdown. This means something, right? It means something.
It does mean something. Those receivers are. I mean, yeah, you don't want to go there because this is exactly the kind of place. This is the kind of place where teams rally around these guys. Everything's going against them, and they're going to like rise up. They were embarrassed last week. They're going to come. They're going to come out and on their home opener. This is a disaster waiting to happen for the Bills.
No,
I'm telling you.
No, this is a victory waiting to happen.
You got to show up, man.
You got to show up. You definitely do. You got to play.
And you got to play well. And I think Greg.
Cosell, when we had him on earlier today, he said it the right way. He said, listen, you just got to forget about what they did, their tennis, all that. Just come out and work on what you need to work on. Play your game. Play the game the way you want to. Let your guys do what they do best and see if the Giants can defend it. See if the Giants can handle your defensive front. See if Saquon Barkley can make hay against your defense. But play your game. And, you know, you're this early in the week, you don't really have a great handle on what these teams are doing, particularly the way the Giants played last week. There were certain guys who studied film. They couldn't tell what coverages these guys were playing. They were so out of sync. You can't count on that to happen again. You got to play the guys as if they're going to play their best, and it's hard to get a handle on what that is. So I think the Bills, the game plan is just, you know what? We think we're going to be – I like the way we look when we do this, 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 and this. Let's do that stuff, and let's see. Let the chips fall where they may. But you know you're going to get a full effort from the Giants.
Oh, yeah. I'm counting on that.
I'm thinking you're going to get an emotional outburst. You got to really come in there ready to go.
So with all that said, and I agree with everything you've said, and knowing who's in and who's out a little bit, we need a prediction. Last week I went with 17-13 Bills. I missed. It was 17-16 Bills. This week I'm going with 27-14 Bills on top over the Giants. That's a comfortable margin on the road. They are favored on the road, which is unusual for the Bills, but I think they win comfortably this week given the setup for this game. Your thoughts, sir?
I'm saying 20-16 Bills.
That's close.
20-16 Bills. Yes, it's close. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think it's hard to go into a road opponent on their home opener and win in a large fashion. I think the Bills are a better team right now after 1 week. But, you know, I'm not saying they're way, way, way better. I think they're a little better. And they got to play more mistake-free than they did last week or they will lose. So I'm saying 20-16.
Patriots at the Dolphins, Sunday, 1 o'clock, same time. We talked earlier, the record, the Dolphins have won 5 of their last 6 home games against the Patriots, and yet this one has the look of a disaster, right, for Miami, I think.
Oh, yeah. They got guys wanting out of there, and Bill Belichick knows that they haven't won down there. They're mad.
Yeah. And one game –
the Patriots use that for fuel.
4:25 out west on Sunday, the Rams home against New Orleans. I'm going with New Orleans here. I love the way New Orleans won was it Monday night? Yeah, it was Monday night against Houston. I think New Orleans is for real again, and I think they'll take that on the road and win at Los Angeles.
No, I'll take the home team. I think the Rams are going to win. I think they've got something to prove about what happened in the Super Bowl. They're probably sick of hearing they didn't deserve to be there, and they're going to prove it against the Saints on Sunday.
All right, we'll see you Monday at 12 noon. Our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Colton, Nick Thomas, Hamilder, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. We got you Monday at noon, One Bills Live. From our Seneca studio at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.